I'm glad you're here today because we may not see each other tomorrow. And I've been thinking about this and trying to find a good way to express what I believe the Bible teaches about tomorrow. And if it teaches anything, it teaches us that we're not promised tomorrow. I remember one of the earliest recitations I learned was, "Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And you know, from the time you learn that as a small child learning to say prayers as you go to bed, sometimes we forget how important today is. And I want to spend some time this morning just kind of going with this idea of, what if I never see tomorrow? I don't know if you've ever had nights like I have where you just can't sleep and there are things that are bothering you, or ailments, you're not feeling well, and you flip and you flop and you turn and you look at the clock and you wonder, is tomorrow ever going to come? And I remember on more than one occasion sitting looking at the alarm clock in our room that's illuminated where you can see it in the dark room, and see it be 11:59 and wondering, come on tomorrow, you can make it. Because there are a lot of people who never see tomorrow, and there'll be a time when you and I don't see tomorrow. Look at Luke chapter 12 again in our text. We're going to use verses 20 and 21. We'll talk about this rich farmer in just a minute, but I want you to listen to God's part of the conversation. God starts off and he says to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God." Life is too short to live life selfishly. Life is too short, and God's work is too great for us to be so self-absorbed that we don't see others. And God said, if we're just looking out for ourselves, we are foolish. No, he uses a stronger term, because he calls this farmer in the parable a fool. And so I wonder, when we think of our own lives, what we're hoarding and failing to see that could be used today. If I could tell you for sure that the Lord's coming back tonight, has anybody got anything they still need to do? Next week, if my calculations and calendar are right, we begin the Thanksgiving holiday. If Thanksgiving is coming to your house this year, your family's coming in, I just suspect a few of you still have a few things left to do. A few baseboards to clean, a few turkeys to roast, a few pans of dressing to be made. There's some things that if the company's coming, we've got to be ready, and we've got to prepare things, and we've got to be ready. Let me tell you, there's a day coming which death will come, or Jesus will come in judgment. And if we're putting off till it gets closer to the time, we don't know what time we're coming. God speaks in this parable and says, tonight, your soul's required of you. One of the behind-the-scenes things that often happens on preparing for worship services, the song leader will email me, "Do you have any songs?" Because I'm quite known for quoting songs and sermons. And so Mark sent me an email this week, and I didn't answer him, because the only song that I had on tap for today was by Garth Brooks. And we couldn't decide if it was in the hymn book or not. I looked, it's not. There's a song, and I promised my wife I will not sing it for you, so you're lucky, "If Tomorrow Never Comes." And in the first verse of that song, he begins to think about lying next to his wife in the middle of the night, and the lyrics say, "Sometimes late at night I lie awake watching her sleep. She's lost in peaceful dreams. So I turn out the lights and lay in the dark, and the thought crosses my mind, if I never wake up in the morning, would she ever doubt the way I feel about her in my heart?" I'll be honest with you, I haven't had that thought. If I die in the middle of the night, have I told people that I love them, that I love them? I think that's important. But it's the last few words of that song that draw my attention and make me think in a different avenue altogether. So tell someone that you love just what you're thinking of, if tomorrow never comes. But my thoughts go to, if tomorrow never comes, is your life right with God? If tomorrow never comes, are you walking with the Master? If tomorrow never comes, are you ready to go to heaven? If tomorrow never comes, are the people that you wanted to share the great story of Jesus with, are they going to be able to meet you? I told you the story the other day of how I was visiting my grandchildren a week or so ago, and one of my middle granddaughters and I were talking, and we got to talking about heaven and talking about there's no time in heaven, and Chloe looks up at me and says, "Papa, if you die before me," and I said, "There's a good chance that's going to happen. Since there's no time in heaven, you won't know any time's elapsed before I'm back with you." I don't tell you the story to just show you how intelligent and spiritually advanced my 11-year-old granddaughter is, which of course I think she is. I tell you the story to tell you that in our family we talk about God. We talk about the promises of God. We talk about the reality of heaven and hell. If tomorrow never comes, have you told your children, your mate, your parents, your brothers, your sisters about Jesus and about heaven? You see, the more I think about this, the more I think it's so important that we be prepared for what could happen tonight or in the next moment. This farmer found out something. So I want to talk to you about what the farmer found out. In the parable, he is a blessed man. The Bible says, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?'" And then he thinks, "Well, the best thing I can do is tear down and build bigger crops where I can have more crops on hand. I can become a hoarder of my own. I can take care of myself." He's not thinking about if tomorrow never comes. He's thinking about all the tomorrows he's got planned. But life has taught me and taught you as well. There are people that I planned to have with me here today who've gone on. There are people that I assumed would walk with me through the path of life that are no longer here. So in verse 16, I think the most important thing when he's talking about this parable, Jesus is talking about the parable, and he talks about this rich man. He says he thought within himself. That reminds me of the guy who prayed within himself. We've got to get beyond ourselves. But what he thought was, "What will I do?" And that's a question you and I need to consider ourselves and hopefully come up with a better answer than he came up with. What will I do with my life if tomorrow never comes, if Jesus comes tonight, if I die tonight, if I have a heart attack? What do I want to do today? Oh, there are people I need to make sure that they know I love them. Richie Bell and I were talking. Richie's one of our new elders. Let me tell you one of his greatest qualifications. What we were talking about last week and then again this week, Richie and I like to get hugs from people in this church family. In fact, I told Rory this morning, I said, "Rory, Mr. Richie doesn't want a hug." Mr. Richie said, "Oh, no. I want people to know that you're loved. Not just by me, but that God loved you so much that he sent Jesus. If I never see tomorrow, I want you to know the story that Jesus died for your sins. If I never see tomorrow, I want to take the most use of the time that I have." This man said, "I know what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns. I'll do more of me. I'm myopic. I'm self-centered. It's all about me." And so he said, "I will do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater barns, and I will store all my crops and all my goods." And that line that God comes back with, and he says, "Thou fool, this night your soul's required of you." Then who's all these things going to be? Who's going to get the barns full of grain? Look with me over when Paul considered a similar question in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Paul said, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith." If tomorrow never comes, am I doing good in the present? If tomorrow never comes, am I doing good today? If tomorrow never comes, was my life valuable on the scale of time, or did I squander and waste what God has given me to do? Is it all about building bigger barns? But you know, he didn't even stop there. He didn't say, I'm going to prepare for the rest of my life and have bigger barns and more grain and more wealth than I need and than I know what to do with. He takes on this Epicurean philosophy. And in verse 19 of Luke 12, he says to himself, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's where a lot of people are today. I've got it easy. I'm on easy street. I've made it to this point in my life. I don't have to worry about anybody or anything else. I've got mine I'm taking care of, and if somebody else has a hard time, that's their problem. That's not what the Apostle Paul said. That's not what the Lord said. That's not the message of the cross. And God says you're a fool if you think that way, because tonight your soul could be required of you. There may be no tomorrow. And as far as that goes, we don't know what's going to happen on tomorrow. 1929, people lost a fortune overnight. Stock market crashed. People jumped out of windows, took their own lives. 9/11, the Twin Towers came down. As I spoke to some of those people later in New York, I was told it was a day like every other day when I got up to go to work that morning. But there are lists of people who left this planet in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye. And then there were those first responders who over time passed developed problems because they worked in the pit at the World Trade Centers. We need to be careful when we talk about today or tomorrow. In James 4, if you'll go ahead and turn over there in verses 13 and following verses, James deals with this day of anticipation. This day that hasn't come, this day that we're not promised we'll ever make it. In verse 14, he says, we don't know what will happen. For whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. That's pretty plain. That's pretty in your face. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a while and then it vanishes away. 1,000 times I've heard as I stood by the hospital bed as life is left, or by the coffin in the funeral home, and heard somebody say, it's too quick, it's too soon, it's I'm not ready to let go, but we're not promised tomorrow. And if we are promised tomorrow, in the end, it's all going to seem too fast, and it's going to seem to have eroded and dissipated right before our eyes. We can't keep planning for tomorrow. Verse 13, James goes on to say, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go and such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. If you're from South Alabama, whereas has come now means, come on, what are you thinking? Wake up. Make all the plans you want, but the only day you have to do anything is right now. You can plan a vacation, you can plan a new job, you can plan all those kind of things, but what matters is what you're doing today. Today is the only day that you can still take hold of. Tomorrow may come or it may not come. But the truth is, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow there's a car accident. Maybe tomorrow your business goes out of business. Your company closes down. Maybe tomorrow all the plans you had are undermined by Satan himself some kind of way, and your family is destroyed by any of the evils that influence the family today. Maybe you're dealing with addictions or runaways or horrible mental illness or whatever comes. It's verse 17 of James chapter 4 that we need to pay attention to. For James says, therefore to him who knows to do good and does it not, and in the context I think that includes puts it off till another day, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. The rich man said, I'll build a bigger barn, I'll store my stuff, I'll eat, drink, and be merry, I'll be set up for years and years and years to come. God said, not so fast. What are you doing now? Paul wrote the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians in verse 6. He says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I've talked about a lot of things of helping others and doing for others, but when it comes to obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. And if you haven't become a Christian, I pray God give you that opportunity. But now is the time. Today is the day. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. The farmer was told, don't count on it because you're dying tonight. But someone says, now Keith, you're being overly dramatic. To be honest with you, I don't think I have enough ability to be as dramatic as God is in this statement. To be honest with you, I don't think I'm doing a good job of getting your attention and saying that we're not promised beyond right now. I think if we really understood, there are many of us who would have to make change immediately and not to another time. I've heard people say, I'm going to become a Christian when I get this age. I'm going to become a Christian when I get married. I'm going to become a Christian when this or that or the other happens. You're not going to live or Jesus is coming back. Those are two statements. You are going to cease to exist as you currently exist on the planet. And one of the things you need to keep in mind is whether you are perfectly healthy and plan to be perfectly healthy tomorrow or not, and I pray that God bless you with health, I don't know when Jesus is coming back and neither does anybody else because there's a day that no one knows. I may never see tomorrow. And neither might you. Jesus is talking in Mark chapter 13. Verse 32 he says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed and watch and pray that you do not know, for you do not know when the time is. Take heed, watch and pray. Wake up. You don't know when it's coming. I hear every once in a while some theologian comes out with some calculation and they've decided that Christ is going to return on such and such a day. He comes around every two or three years and they've been wrong so far. I want to tell you a couple of things to look at. The inspired Word of God says nobody knows when that day is. Number two, the angels in heaven have not been privy to that information. And number three, even the Son, Jesus Christ himself, does not know when. So how can you keep waiting, thinking that you've been promised another day? Matthew's account of the same statement's a little different. Matthew 24 and verse 42. Jesus said, watch ye therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. But know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect. It was within the last 10 days I got a phone call. A young man in his 50s had passed away. I vaguely knew them, but the information was passed around and I got the information. And what I heard was he had a heart attack in his sleep, and his wife found him dead this morning. Then I began to think, that's not the first time I've heard that statement, and I suspect it's not the first time you've heard it either. That someone who had plans for the day, plans for the week, plans for a lifetime, the Son of Man is coming either to take you individually or coming back in judgment in a time that you don't expect, a time that you're not planning for, a time that you can't say, I've got all things ready. So what do we do? The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 13, chapter 3 and verse 13, exhort one another daily while it's called today. While it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Satan wants you to put off. Satan wants you not to do. Satan wants you not to be the Christian you ought to be. Satan wants you not to accept the gospel. Satan wants you to say, I'll have another time. I'm not ready. Something's going to happen. I'll know. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. The Hebrew writer goes on to say in chapter 4 and verse 7, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. If we never see tomorrow, are you ready to meet Jesus? If we never see tomorrow, have you done what you needed to do? If we never see Jesus, then we don't have the hope of being rejoined with our loved ones. If we don't wake up in this life again tomorrow, our time has passed to do, to become, to serve Him in whatever way you need to. This morning, if you don't wake up tomorrow, where will you be? If you want to become a Christian this morning and be baptized into Christ, we can assist you. If you've wandered away and need to come home, why not now? If we can help you, won't you come while we stand and sing?